Cosmic Shed.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the Cosmic Shed. Today's episode is a special episode with, I think, possibly the nearest actor to the Cosmic Shed.
I know. This is ridiculously local and it's made my day.
So I'm obviously Andrew, and with me today is...
Ty.
And you've just heard Kate Davies speak.
That's correct.
Hello, Kate.
Thank you. I'm still getting used to my name.
Yeah, you've just got married.
I did just get married, yeah. And the whole name thing was a bit of a pickle for me when it came to work, but hearing it said by someone is good. So this is day one of the bit.
So what was your name previously? People might
know. It was Kate Marie Davies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have, actually, in the shed, we've had friends of yours before.
You have.
Because you are a star. You play Nicole in the Horizon web series.
Yeah.
I think we should start with that.
Yeah.
On the basis that that's science fiction and that's what we do.
And that's your thing. Yeah, cool. I'm up for that. I love talking about Horizon.
So there's a new series. I should actually say it's really quite cold today. It's a beautiful day in Bristol. There's a little temperature gauge over there that says it's 20 degrees in the shed. I don't believe that.
No, I'm not convinced. You're all
sitting here. I'm in a T-shirt.
You're in a T-shirt, but you just biked up here. Anyway, so Horizon.
It's a sci-fi show shot here in Bristol. It's something I've been kind of part of since the very end of 2013, when I was, I say kind of offered the role, but actually the director, Paul, spoke to me about the role before it was ever in... Before it was ever written, he knew the kind of characters that I wanted to play, predominantly kind of action roles and stuff. And he spoke to me about the idea of Horizon. I was very keen to work with him. And we went into production in 2014 on season one. We shot it, I have to cast my mind back now, I think we did 10 consecutive days of shooting. And it was just so much fun. I mean, for just a kind of Bristol actor to be on a set that was very much like a television set, shooting a series, playing a character every day was literally me living the dream, you know. And we were doing scenes of cars overturned on motorways and obviously having to imagine spaceships and attacks overhead. I just loved every minute of it, and I really enjoyed in season one. Actually, there was quite a big character arc for my character Nicole. She is probably the least popular character at the start and hopefully slightly more popular by the end. And I've really enjoyed bringing her to life, and you'll see soon, even more so really in season two.
Okay, season two is coming soon, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Do you know when?
It's in the very final stages of post-production. I think because it's an indie gig, obviously it can take a lot more time to get it, mainly with the CGI effects and everything to be done. That said, we were originally looking at December, but I think it might be just pushed into the beginning of the new year.
Okay.
But certainly soon. I think that they will be having a sort of feature cut version for cast and crew, maybe sort of select few people, and then they'll start really seeing them episodically after that. So.
A select few people, you say?
Yeah. Wink, wink.
I mean, your character went from essentially being... like you said, a bit of a bitch at the beginning to firing machine guns at, let's just say, hinting at a bigger conspiracy for season two. Can you tell us what's going to happen with Nicole going forward?
I think more kind of character-wise with Nicole, she kind of starts off... so the whole thing starts only a couple of days after season one. She's now, I guess... taken on the mantle of kind of bigger sister for the whole group.
Yeah.
And the place where we've sort of sought refuge at the end of season one. She's quite protective of them all. So although there's still that kind of slightly sassy side to her, it's actually more from wanting to look after them all. So hopefully, again, I hope the audience will be a bit warmer towards her at the start. There will be a lot more action stuff for Nicole in the show. I'd rather not spoil that too much for anyone, but I had such a blast doing it. It was they really... my colleagues were really fair to me, knowing what I really enjoy doing as an actor, and they definitely chucked a lot of that at me. So it was quite physically demanding, so that was cool.
Right, so you're a you said as a Bristol actress,
mm-hmm.
but as a you're a stage actress.
I did stage now for maybe sort of 10 years, where it was a main focus for me.
Right.
That was kind of entwined with work that I was doing in Bristol anyway. I used to work as a support worker at SGS College in the performing arts department. And so whilst I was doing that, I would go off and do shows wherever possible. And then sometime, I think around 2009, I went off and did these theatre tours of Europe. They were predominantly theatre and education, so we used theatre to help educate students from Spain, Portugal, Belgium, Holland, France, how to speak English, but using physical theatre. Absolutely loved it, but we were doing four shows a day, every day, for like 3 years, pretty much. Yeah, wow. And so when I came back, I'd kind of done my stage stint for a while, and so I went into more screen acting.
Yeah.
And the main feedback I had from my first couple of castings in screen acting was that I was a little bit theatrical, and so I've spent the years after that trying to wean the stage out of me a little bit. And it was actually only a couple of days ago I thought, oh, I kind of miss the stage again. Yeah. So I love both, but I see stage acting and screen acting as almost two different industries, really. They're so different.
Yeah.
Just in terms of how you get the work, what the work actually entails, and how you actually perform. So
yeah.
I love them both.
It went by two stage. Do they mean you're too big? Your actions are too big.
Yeah, it's just things like you over project your voice a bit when you're on stage, because obviously you're used to belting it out there to a couple of hundred people, and I can't remember the exact quote, but someone's once said that if you see actors on set and they're rehearsing, and you know that they're rehearsing, they're not doing their job properly. If you think you've interrupted a conversation, they're acting properly. So screen acting is so small and so intricate, and you don't, you know, you pretty much hardly want to move.
Yeah.
It's much more internal. It's much more about eye contact and things like that. So it's just a slightly different craft, but I've kind of fallen in love with screen acting more so now. So
yeah. It just reminds me of Bono, because for years I looked at Bono on television and I thought, he's so weird. There's something really weird about him. And I saw him in concert and in a arena or in a stadium with tens of thousands of people. He actually makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't totally make sense, obviously, because he's Bono, but it somewhere that he hasn't got that ability to transfer it to the screen, because he looks ridiculous on screen.
Yeah, you see that quite often in certain sort of TV shows and some soap operas and that. There's definitely a level of sort of theatrical performance to some of them. I don't want to kind of name and shame anyone, but you can kind of see it. No. But again, I just prefer much more naturalistic acting. And in fact, a lot of the stuff that I kind of looked at, whether it's sort of books or things on the internet, have been about taking the acting away, actually. And it's much more just about listening to your co-stars, and it's much easier to do that on screen. So
Yeah. And is it because you've done theatre, you've done short films, you've done independent films?
Yes.
Is that so? And it's also predominantly horror based, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of effects.
Yeah.
Are you doing green screen stuff?
I've done some green screen. I actually really hate working with green screen.
You're not alone.
Oh, it's
everyone
horrendous.
About it.
Yeah, I've done it several times. So I did it. The first experience I had was a film called Kaleidoscope Man. That was a sci-fi.
Yeah.
And then I had it with Horizon. It seems to happen a lot in sci-fi, because obviously you've got things like spaceships and aliens and stuff that's react to. And to me, you just feel a bit daft. You're just kind of gawping at this big sort of blank space. I don't know, because again, I like to react to something that's actually there.
Yeah.
In that respect, actually, I prefer working with practical effects, which I've done recently on a film called Dead Air, which I interacted with these little creatures. They're all called Dave at the moment, but they are basically a cross between, I suppose, Gizmo and a full-on gremlin. They're like furry gremlins. But they were in the room, and the puppeteers were there, and we were looking at them, and they were growling at us, and that to me was so much better to do than to just stare at a green screen. But I understand the need for green screen, obviously, but it's not something I love.
Yeah, there's a kind of, well, that's the difference between the Star Wars prequels and the new Star Wars films, isn't it, really? And you can see the difference.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't understand that already, you can see the difference just by watching those. But I wouldn't recommend it as a thing to do with your time. Don't watch the prequels. Don't do that.
I mean, being from Bristol, you've also cut your teeth on all the local productions that filmed here, like Skins and Teachers. No Holby City.
No, I mean, it's not for lack of trying.
Surely every young actor actress has to cut their teeth on
I've done a little casualty.
As long as you've done casualty, I've dabbled that's in
a
all little right.
casualty. I did. I did a bit of essay work on casualty a couple of years ago. Because yeah, you have to. You're in Bristol. You got to do it. And I was quite fortunate actually. I worked alongside Michelle Collins, who was Cindy Bill back in the day on EastEnders, and obviously she's had a brilliant career. She's absolutely lovely. And although I was just an essay, she really took me under her wing, and I kind of played her friend on screen, spent the whole day with her, and I just being on set actually with people of her caliber and being on a set the scale of Casualty, whatever, I actually really enjoyed. I don't normally like essay work. I feel very hungry to be acting when I'm doing that, and you're very much put in your place almost straight away. But I think that on-set experience is really valuable too. And the Casualty team are lovely. And of course, if I ever got the opportunity, I would love to play a role on something like that. But it's just getting
it. Excuse my stupidity. What's this essay?
Supporting artist. Okay. Apparently that's, well, that's, I mean, yeah. I don't mind being called an extra, but some extras prefer to be called essays. So, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, Bristol's also just been named a UNESCO City of Film.
Okay.
So, as a Bristol-based actress, do you find there's lots of opportunities in the city? I mean, we've got the Bottle Yard, we've got various productions happening here, or do you find you have to go further afield to work?
Yeah, do you know what? That actually kind of breaks my heart. I find it very hard sometimes to see productions going on so close to home that I had no insight into. I didn't even know they were going to have. I mean, I'm not saying that I should be a hub of all knowledge when they come about, but for example, I live very close to St Andrew's Park, and it was shut down a couple of months ago where they were filming flat out like some series there for ages, and I thought, like, if I was doing everything properly in the industry, I should really have been, you know, aware of this going on. But what tends to happen is, yes, Bristol does have a lot of projects going on and it's brilliant and Bottle Yard is fantastic, but they still employ London actors to come here and pretend to be Bristolian in some productions.
Okay.
So it can be really frustrating. I would love to be able to get some solid work here in Bristol, but actually most of the time I work away. So
let's talk about some of these projects then, because you are very much on all your social media an actress of action.
Yes.
You do all these kind of inspirational videos and posting photos of you constantly working out for your next roles. So let's just talk about some of them. Okay. Knights of the Damned.
Okay. Knights of the Damned, I filmed maybe a year ago. And that was kind of a fantasy, kind of King Arthur, Game of Thronesy type thing. I got a chance to play Amazonian warrior woman.
Sweet.
So it didn't take me long to say yes to that role. It was good fun, but I didn't feel as connected to that project as some of the ones that I've worked on, because I was pretty much a day player. I turned up, I learned to fight, off I went, I did my scenes and home I went. But
it looked like it had lots of actors who have been, like Rossa Hennessy, who's been everything from Game of Thrones to Vikings, I think.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I think anything where they need a big man with a beard to wave a sword,
that's
Ross
him.
Is there.
Yeah, he's
so
available as well, aren't you?
I am available. I'm just not an actor. But I mean, horror is your passion, and you've done loads, like Escape from Cannibal Farm, Dead Man Apocalypse, and like you said, Dead Air recently.
Yes.
Which looks awesome.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about Dead Air? Because from the outside looking in, it looks like The Descent, but instead of cavers, you're a rock band, and instead of subterranean monsters, it's critters.
Sure thing, yeah. I mean, I absolutely loved working on Dead Air. It's one of the high points of my year, actually. They're such a lovely bunch of passionate people. They actually approached me about the role, I believe it was the start of the year, based on something that I set up online called Showreel Share Day.
Yeah.
So it's a chance for actors to showcase their showreels, and they plucked me out from that, got in touch, and instantly I knew it was a project I wanted to work on. So again, it was like Gremlins, Critters, you've got rock chicks up on an airplane, and they were, I mean, they spoke to me like, I mean, a film that I grew up loving.
Why are you on an airplane? Why is the band on an airplane?
Right, so they are, they're rock chicks that don't like each other. They're on their way to their final gig. Like, we literally can't stand each other. Well, one or two of us are close, I guess. And that's it. They're literally on the way to their final gig. And they don't want to be there. And then one of them goes out into the holding area and spies a little creature. And and the shit hits the fan, basically.
Is that Dave?
Yeah, it's a Dave. I mean, it was great to work with. I mean, to meet actresses. There are other actresses that I was keen to work with as well. Charlie Bond is absolutely wonderful. She's also an actress who works a lot in horror. So I was excited to work with her and the other girls as well. We hit it off immediately, which was really good for just that whole kind of band rapport. Even though our characters don't like each other, the fact that we kind of worked as a unit, we had to do a lot of combat stuff. I mean, I'm batting critters around this aeroplane with my bass guitar and swinging it at other cast members, and you've just got to all muck in and have a good time with that, and everyone was up for it. We had brilliant makeup team. Like, we did all these prosthetics. We actually went and got this thing called a head cast first, which was a little bit terrifying. They cover your whole head in, I guess it's plaster.
Yeah.
And it's like a face mask gone wrong. Like, it gets heavier and heavier, and after a while, like, I don't know if I can breathe. But they do that so that when they cut it out, you've got this kind of this sort of imprint of your face, and they can do all the prosthetics on that. So when it comes to the shoot day, it's there ready to stick on you. They can do it in 10 minutes rather than sort of 5 hours, which it can take sometimes to do. And it was just one of those sets where everyone knew what their purpose was. Everyone just got straight on it, and we were all just excited the whole time. But what we've actually shot is just the short version of what they want to be a feature.
Okay.
They are running a post-production crowdfunder at the moment. They got some awesome people on board for the rest of the production, so to put in their effects, their soundtrack, and obviously so that we can push for the feature. And I've heard that apparently in the feature, which is being written currently, it's going to be a male rock band and our lot as their supporting artists, and none of us like each other. And it's going to be taken, it won't just be on the plane, it'll be stuff that goes on the airport and stuff as well, so it'll just be on a much bigger scale.
So is the tone going for a full horror, or is it, like you said, like Gremlins?
It's more comedy horror, yeah. And it's got a very kind of 80s vibe to it. They've got just the kind of lighting, they've used the kind of pinks and greens and all that, just give it this real kind of like throwback look to things like Gremlins and Poltergeist and stuff like that. It's
sweet.
Just, yeah, it was so much fun.
And can you play the bass, or is it locked
in?
No chance.
But thankfully, my bass guitar wasn't real. It was a prop ready to be wrapped around people's heads, so.
Okay.
As you appear in a lot of horror films, one of the tropes is, as a woman, you are either going to die very brutally, or you're going to be the traumatised survivor, the last woman standing.
Yeah, I'm the final girl, usually.
So you haven't died that many times?
No, I'm quite pleased. And yeah, I've got a film coming up next year where we might turn that on its head a bit. I'm not going to say which one, because we kind of want to bring my sort of followers or fans in to come and watch it and then just wipe me out. But no, I'm quite lucky. I tend to be the, as you say, traumatised survivor, but usually my traumatised survivors turn into badass action babes, so, yeah. You know, it's always good.
So what made you win, and what made you want to do action acting?
In terms of what, I mean, I don't know many actresses that don't want to play tougher characters, really. We don't just want to be like pathetic little victims. Or if we're going to be a victim, we want to be a victim that goes down fighting. And I grew up absolutely obsessed with Lara Croft. That hasn't changed. It's a good 20 years of dedication to this love. And any chance to play that kind of character on screen is what makes me tick, really. And also because...
So you've cut the brakes on Alicia Vikander's car.
Yeah.
Although that does look good.
I kind of love her, and I bloody hate her for stealing my role. You know, maybe they could write me in as like her kind of angry sister or something.
Lara Croft.
There you go.
There we go.
But she's brilliantly cast in it, to be honest. So I'll let her have that one. It's fine. There's other roles out there for me. But as a fitness instructor as well, I quite like setting myself the challenge of getting into physical shape for a role. And I did it a lot with season two of Horizon for Nicole. No one's ever said you have to do that, but I think it's my one chance to bring that kind of character to life. I may as well hit the gym and do what I can, really, and then at least sell the idea that I might be able to take down a few bad guys. And it's good. It's a nice little fun personal challenge. So.
I believe it. I reckon you could take down bad guys, no problem.
100%.
Yeah.
And Hollywood seems to be waking up to the kick-ass female roles after the success of Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Out of interest, what did you make of that spat between James Cameron, who has written his fair share of kick-ass female roles, and Patty Jenkins, who directed Wonder Woman?
I mean, I don't know a lot about the spat, to be honest. I think she surprised herself with how successful it was.
Oh, yeah.
Did she not?
Yeah.
She did a brilliant job.
It was great.
Yeah. I didn't love the film. I didn't love the story, but I absolutely loved Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
As a character, she was brilliant. And I can never pronounce it, Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot.
What a beauty she is. I mean, that's me, dream role. Like, but her character I love because, as well as being tough and kick-ass, she's just got such beautiful morals as well. She's just so endearing.
Yeah.
And I think women love her, and men obviously love her too. So she's just, she absolutely nailed it.
I thought it was fantastic fun, apart from the CGI muckfuckery at the end.
Oh,
and
there's
the final
always
act.
Too much muckfuckery,
too much CGI. Keep
I
it.
Know.
Just
keep
give
it
her
real,
a sword.
Guys.
Exactly. But, yeah. I mean, it means they're greenlighting more films. Apparently Hollywood wants to do a new Red Sonja film.
Okay.
So, in terms of roles out there for women looking for action, you've been very vocal about going after one superhero role. Let's talk about that.
Batgirl. Yes, Batgirl. All right, well, basically, I'm like a freaking Rottweiler if I see like an opportunity that I can try a new social media to push towards. And for me, it was a simple thing. Like, I was always wearing my Batgirl training gear when I trained my fitness clients, and I had several people say, oh, you know, if they ever turn that into a film, you should go for it, you know, jokey. And then Joss Whedon kind of publicly stated that he was looking for an unknown actress for the role. I was like, right, there we go, off we go, come on Swissa, let's do this. And actually it was my followers that kind of just jumped on it, and I've been feeding them, you know, just the odd photo or video.
We've seen the mocked up photos and everything. You look, so how do you go about getting Joss Whedon's attention, apart from waving frantically on Twitter?
Well, do you know what, if I really knew the answer to that, I'd be doing it right this second. Like, you know what, the best that we got from it so far, and I say so far because the role's not gone yet.
No.
Is someone added it, whoever you are, thank you, to the trivia on the official Batgirl page on IMDb.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was
British
one of the ones at the top.
Linked to the role.
Literally, you've got Alicia Silverstone is interested in playing the part again. Emma Stone, la la la. Kate Davis Speak is ready for the role in Batgirl. I'm like, thank you, whoever added that. I love you. Because you never know if his casting team might just go on the page and go, who the bloody hell is this? And then they might see my show, Roy. You never know. But I'm grateful to my Twitter supporters for that as well. They just get behind a lot of stuff that I put up, and they kind of let me go a bit crazy, I suppose, online, and I get away with it, so...
Well, I mean, they're also... Margot Robbie's been very vocal about expanding DC's female characters and having an action film. So as well as Batgirl and Harley Quinn, there are also roles like Black Canary and Huntress...
Right, yes.
...that you could go for if they do like a female superhero team-up.
Yes, I didn't even know much about The Huntress. However, so many people tagged me going, well, you could also try that one. So, yeah, I need to do a bit more research as well. But, yeah, there are some brilliant characters out there that need to be brought to life. So I actually love Catwoman as well, but she's been done too recently, so I can't.
Was Catwoman in recently?
Well, it was Anne Hathaway, wasn't it?
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, much more recently than Batgirl would have been done. And, I mean, I liked her version, but, oh, my God, I was obsessed with Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman growing up. Like, I used to watch Batman Returns on repeat. Yeah, she's brilliant.
I always think about this when I hear about actresses trying to audition for the Batman films. Michelle Pfeiffer got the role. Apparently Sean Young really wanted the role of Catwoman back then. And she broke onto the Warner Studios lot dressed as Catwoman and hung out in Tim Burton's office, just slouched
that
over his desk.
That is what I need to be doing.
She got escorted off the property and didn't get the role.
Okay,
there are stories everywhere of how Sean Young broke onto the lot dressed as Catwoman, started prancing around the offices trying to get the role. But
got a lot of respect for
exactly. that. Exactly. But I mean, that could always work.
Yeah.
So you are constantly working, though. I mean, you must have done about 5 films this
year. I had a very lucky stint, this last kind of 6 months or so. The big one for me is one called The Barge People.
Mm-hmm.
It's big for several reasons. Firstly, it was written by one of my best friends. And when he moved to Bristol, maybe 5 years ago, he was really interested in getting this film off the ground. It was another horror, but it's very much like, it combines a lot of horrors that I love. So you've got like Eden Lake, The Fog, The Wrong Turn, Hills of Ice, and just whack them all together and you'll come out with this script. And we've wanted to get up and running for years. But when I was away the other year filming Escape from Cannibal Farm with Dark Temple Motion Pictures, we actually filmed near some canals. And I said, you know what? This would be a perfect location to shoot my friend's film, The Barge People, if it ever happens. Mm. Anyway, fast-tracking a bit, I put the two guys together to talk about the project. And the filmmaker, absolutely, his name's Charlie Steeds, he absolutely loved Chris's work. And so we decided to actually set the ball rolling, and they got it funded because other people believed in it. I had the honour of being casting director on that project, which I love. So I was already offered the lead. I didn't just go, oh, I know who I'll cast for that. Just the one. But they gave me the honour of being able to cast my co-stars, which was brilliant. It was such a great learning curve as an actor as well to be on the other side of the table. And the actors that we did choose were bloody brilliant, are some of the best ones I've ever worked with, and we had a great time, and it is an incredibly gory film. I believe it will be one of the best things I've worked on so far. We worked so hard over the last month or so on it. Like, we were filming night shoots the whole time, and again, very physically demanding, and it's cooler because it's quite so Charlie, the filmmaker's got a real love for like retro films as well, so it has this kind of 70s vibe to it. We've got slightly 70s, it's not set in the 70s, but we've got slightly 70s clothing. They're using the soundtrack of Cujo as a bit of a reference for their score. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's actually, they're starting editing it today, actually, so I'm hoping they can send me some stills I can whack on social media. Cool.
Say this year's been the most successful at the box office for horror. As someone who loves horror films and stars in them, do you see that happening with the projects you're working on, that they're getting greenlit more readily, or is it harder for horror films to get out there?
I think it's getting a bit easier. I mean, I suppose I'm biased because I'm able to work in horror, so I feel like it's happening a lot more. I certainly know that I've had more opportunities. I think with horror, it's just one of those things where people can do a lot more for less money.
Yeah.
And they're doing that all the time. I mean, a film that I enjoyed recently is Creep, which is on Netflix. There's, yep, Creep and Creep 2. It's a found footage horror thriller. Couldn't have cost them much to make at all. I mean, it's
a Blumhouse film, isn't it? And they're,
yes, yeah,
they're famously cheap.
They're cheap, and they're very good at opening doors for indie. Yeah.
But they give the directors and writers full creative control.
Yes.
And they go, yeah, here's your budget, but you can do whatever you want.
Precisely. I've got a friend out there at the moment meeting with him about one of his projects as well. And they're very good at that. And our mutual friend Gabriella as well, yep, I think, had some success with them. So
yeah, with her short film I Should Have Run being put on website,
yeah,
which was great.
Yeah, which is brilliant. I'm so pleased for her. And yeah, so just people opening doors for people. And I think as well, we're lucky that we've got things like Netflix and online channels where you've got a platform to put your work.
Yeah.
We're really hoping Escape from Cannibal Farm, which is getting DVD and Blu-ray release, we're hoping to get that on Netflix or Amazon Prime. And we certainly want that for The Barge People as well. So you've got an opportunity to get your work out there, and it motivates you to do better work as well, because you've got an audience.
There's also Shudder, which is like Netflix, but completely dedicated to horror films.
Yeah, do you know, I haven't checked it out yet, but I keep on getting that advertised to me on Facebook. I'm like, why aren't I watching this yet? I need to sort my life out.
Yeah.
Do you look to horror? When you watch a horror film, are you hoping to be scared by it?
Yeah, God, yeah. I get really sad if I don't get scared by a film. I find it very hard to get scared now. I've kind of numbed myself to it. So I take it to the next level now. I'm a big video gamer as well. I have HTC Vive, and I'll just look for anything that's like actually scary where I kind of shit myself playing. And I had a PS VR as well. And one of my favourite scary experiences recently was Resident Evil 7 in VR.
Oh.
Like, you know when something's so scary, like you literally feel like, I don't know, you get like the hair stand up on the back of your neck, you think that something's about to like grab you and attack you.
Yeah.
That's good, because I actually feel scared. But films, not so much. In fact, I can remember the last time a film scared me, and it was Sinister, and that was because of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
But when I was away at the start of the year filming a film in France called The House of Violent Desire, in this really creepy house, more like a castle, and we wanted to scare ourselves, so we blasted out the Sinister soundtrack at like 4 a.m. and went down into the depths of the castle in the dark with just a phone light. We're like, just frighten us, please. Don't know why. I'm obviously sick.
Have you played the game Alien Isolation?
I love that. See, yeah, that scares me.
That's scared.
Such a good game.
I rented it and I had to take it back. I was just not enjoying it. I'm scaring myself too much.
Yeah, that's good.
That was too full on.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big gamer at all.
Oh.
I played Dead Space 3.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah. I enjoyed it and also got a bit scared.
Yeah.
because of the zombies.
And yes. Also with him, like, he's constantly running out of oxygen as well, so you've got that, like, sort of thumping, sort of, like, he's sort of, like, heavy breathing, and it really ramps up the fear factor. Yeah. I like Dead Space games are good.
Yeah.
But Alien Isolation is... Well, if I would say Resident Evil 7 is scarier than Alien Isolation, really? So, yeah, have fun.
Oh,
no. Did you say you had a PlayStation VR?
Yeah, I sold it to get my HTC Vive.
Oh, did you? Why?
HTC Vive gives you more freedom to actually move around the space. And actually, my husband was getting a bit sick playing on the PSVR, because I don't think your brain can make as much sense if your body's not moving.
Yeah.
And some games do make you more motion sick. And it's a shame, because Resident Evil 7 VR was bloody brilliant. But I think they're going to do a VR update for the PC version. And HTC Vive, I tried it out at a Games Expo a couple of years ago and just blew my mind. So I knew that I wanted to get one at some point. So I treated myself recently.
Good.
Yeah.
That sounds like, I mean... You live locally, right?
Very locally.
We need to try.
So you want a gaming night? Brilliant.
We did VR at a recent sci-fi convention went to, and they had Star Trek Bridge Crew in VR. Okay. And that was fun. But I haven't played an actual action game or horror game yet in VR.
There's a good one called Arizona Sunshine on the HTC Vive, and it's like a zombie horde one, and you're there and you're literally like trying to actually reload your guns.
So you're standing up, you're not sat down.
Yeah, you can walk around the space. So basically, say you were using this room now, the shed.
Yeah.
You grab your right stick controller and you trace around the room.
Okay.
And then it maps it onto the computer, so it knows your actual space. So within the game, it'll put slight.
Oh, so you're not walking
grid.
Into your door.
Yes, so you don't like nut yourself on the ceiling or what have you, or smack your arm into a door. And it will design that play space around it, which is what makes it really cool. So, what did I play recently? There's one called the Belko Experiment, which is based on a very cool film. Actually, that's a good
James Gunn wrote it.
Yes.
And what's his name? The guy that did Wolf Creek. Greg McLean.
Yeah.
He did Rogue.
I really enjoyed the Belko Experiment. Yeah. And this VR game is kind of a promo for it. So you're basically, you're just stuck in this office room, all the doors are locked, and you've got a timer going on the wall, and you have to physically walk around the room and open drawers and try and figure out the puzzles and that, and you know that you're going to get your head blown up if you don't do it in time, so that's quite fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is there any acting work in video games?
Yeah.
Still,
lots,
because it's not all just CGI.
I've done voiceover for a couple of indie games. I think one was on the iPad called Beatrum Fiddle. That was cool because vocally you can play any character you want. So I was literally fluctuating between like this like disgusting old granny and like these two crazy psychotic twins. All sorts of characters. That's a lot of fun. There was one that I did. Oh, Jesus, I can't remember the name of it. That's really bad. But basically, I played a kind of Lara Croft-type character vocally anyway, so I kind of, I went for that. Okay. And, Salvaged, it was called. And but the main line of work in video games that I would love to do as an actor is motion capture.
Yeah.
So actually, like, doing the cutscenes for stuff, because it's getting better all the time anyway.
Uncharted and The Last of Us.
Have you seen the trailer for Last of Us 2? It looks so good. Yeah.
It's not continuing the story from the first one.
It doesn't look like
China
it
or something.
Yeah, I don't know, because he didn't recognise any of the characters. No. But I wondered if the protagonist in the clip was maybe Ellie's mum or something. I don't know.
Maybe
sort of
Ellie's
muscle
story
woman.
Kind of come to an end in the.
I don't know.
It's intriguing.
Although Joel and Ellie were in the teaser that was at E3 when they first announced that there was going to be a sequel, but whether or not they just did that to let people know that there was going to be another one, but. That looks good. So the CGI mocap stuff, and obviously Tomb Raider would have been bloody good, but hey ho.
We can make another one at some point, won't they?
Yeah. There are famous stars that are just known from their video motion cap stuff, like the guy who's Nolan North, the guy who is Nathan Drake.
Yes,
He's got a career just playing video game characters and doing voices. And
a brilliant line of work that would be.
It's brilliant, but it kind of means like, I kind of feel bad for these actors, because when they talk about making an Uncharted movie, they're doing it with Tom Holland.
Yes.
And I think Bryan Cranston might be Sully. That's the rumour.
Yeah.
And then when they're doing The Last of Us movie, they're talking about Maisie Williams as Ellie. So you've kind of got these actors that have established these characters for like a decade now.
Yeah. I felt the same for Camilla Luddington, who played Lara Croft brilliantly in the rebooted games. And she was never in the running for the movie. And it's like, but she looks the part, she is the part.
She looks exactly like her.
Again, again, you know, I would have been cross if she got it because I didn't, but I still think she deserved it. She put the time in, you know, she was the role.
And no offence to Alicia Vikander, but it's not like my mum knows who Alicia Vikander is. It's not like...
Yeah.
She's not... I mean, she's an Oscar-winning actress.
Well, there you know.
Don't get me wrong, but she's not like a name.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. I mean, the Tomb Raider is the name, is the brand.
Yeah.
It's like Bond. You don't need a name.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I see what you mean. Okay, right, listen. Horizon. It carries on from where it left off.
Yes.
Is it going to carry on again afterwards?
I don't think so.
Oh. Okay.
It's all wrapped up quite nicely.
Is it?
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
When you say wrapped up. Is Bristol still standing at the end?
I can't tell you that. That would be a mega, mega spoiler. I know, let's get her on the show and spoil it for everyone.
Amazing. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Thank you.
And
how do people find you on Twitter so they can keep plugging you to Josh Whedon?
So my handle is at Kate Davies Speak, and it's D-A-V-I-E-S for anyone who's interested. And the hashtag that my lovely follower set up is Kate Davies for Batgirl.
Nice.
But also, if you click on hashtag Batgirl, my profile comes up at the top before Joss Whedon. Have that, Joss Whedon.
Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
Cosmic Shed. And thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.